Welcome to the Brute Strength Podcast, bringing you worldwide experts from all areas of health and fitness. We cover training, nutrition, coaching, and mindset. Welcome your host, strength and conditioning coach, 2012 and 2013 CrossFit Games champ, Michael Cashew. Mind, body, brute.
Welcome back. This is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. This week's guest is Matt O'Keefe. Matt is the owner of Redline Gear and the president of a company called Loud and Live Sports, which just bought the majority shares of Wadapalooza earlier this year. And it also encompasses his work as an agent to a lot of the top athletes like Matt Frazier, Katrin David's daughter, Cole Sager, etc. And I've gotten kind of an inside look at Matt's success over the past 5 or so years. He's actually even stayed at my grandma's house in New Roads, Louisiana. And I wanted to give him the platform to just talk about how he's become so successful, because I think all of us can learn something from it. The way that he does business is very ethical, and he does it in service of others and to create value for others. So we start the show off by talking about how he got started as an agent by meeting Matt Frazier, how he almost got Matt kicked out of the 2014 games. That's a great story here. And then we go into his career, all of his career changes, and what he credits to his success over the past 10 years. Finally, we talk a lot about the changes that are going on in the CrossFit Games and whether or not it will succeed long term. And if anyone knows, I feel like it's him, because as I said earlier, he is really at the forefront of the sport of fitness now. So before we get started, if you haven't done so already, please head to iTunes, leave me a quick review, hit the subscribe button, share it with a friend. Enjoy the show. Matt O'Keefe, what's up, brother?
Hey man, how you doing? Good to be with you.
Hell yeah, man! It's been way too long since we've chatted. I wanna talk about obviously all of the changes in the CrossFit Games, the CrossFit community, because you have such an integral role in the changes and what's to come in the sport of fitness. But you first, I want to talk more about your kind of career history and how you got to where you are, because you have one of the most colorful and one of the most colorful career histories, and you've just grown so rapidly over the past 5 to 10 years, and it's really inspiring, and it's just a great story. So I want to say it all started with an auto dealership. So you go from car dealership to insurance salesman, and then you take a chance on an apparel company called Redline Gear. And right around that time, I know, is when you met Matt Frazier. And I think you have an interesting story to tell us about when you worked with Matt, when you started working with Matt.
Yeah, I think, you know, I started CrossFit, I think it was 2012. And I just, you know, again, I was selling insurance, but definitely at that point in my life, I was, you know, I knew I wasn't, you know, psyched about where my professional career was. Like, I mean, I was successful with what I was doing, but, you know, that, you know, financial success or, you know, in a field, it wasn't doing it for me. Like, that wasn't necessarily how I measured success. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to love what I did. You know, I wanted to get out of the morning charged up with what, you know, what I was involved with. And, I just, you know, I had an idea and you know, I was really passionate about, you know, the CrossFit space, as I think a lot of us have that experience when we first get involved in it and look for more opportunity to be involved. You know, I think I probably at one point had the delusional thought that I wanted to open a gym, which is something I think a lot of people in our space have as a thought and feeling, because it, you know, they have such a great experience with the community and being a part of a gym. And I quickly realized, you know, that was absolutely crazy, because I'm not a trainer. And I think that, you know, that wasn't the right way for me to go. Not that I knew anything about running a clothing business, but I think I had what I thought was a really good idea for a brand. And I, you know, started Redline. And I think, you know, soon after met Matt, and I met Matt through, you know, I lifted with, I didn't lift. I worked out, and this girl, Allie Henry, lifted at a gym that I was a member at, North Shore CrossFit, one of the original affiliates in the world. And Allie took me, her and her boyfriend and I went to a competition in Boston to see a friend of hers compete. And it was Matt. And at the time I was just starting my business, wanted to, you know, work with somebody on the influencer side to, you know, promote the brand. And, you know, she connected the dots for us there. And that's sort of how I started, in business. You know, I hadn't even launched clothing at that point. So when Redline launched, it launched and Matt was a part of it.
I heard a really interesting story and I hope this is true. So supposedly when you first signed him, he was, you know, he was a nobody in the sport, and it was a super, low dollar amount contract. And then very quickly he exploded. And I heard that you offered him a bunch of more money just out of the goodness of your heart, and he refused to take it.
Yeah. I mean, Matt, when I met Matt, I think that he wasn't really a nobody. Like, that, you know, Matt had already had success at regionals, and he had just won ECC. Like, he was new to the space for sure. I think, anybody who was like a geek CrossFitter knew who Matt was. Like, he had had that regional that year where he overhead squatted at a freakish amount of weight. People were sort of looking at him like, wow, who's this kid? He finished fourth, nearly qualified for the games. But yeah, I mean, I think on the, you know, I'll say this about, you know, not getting too deep into like, you know, what our deals were, but I will say that, you know, Matt has gone above and beyond with me, you know, and been super loyal to me and everything that I've done. You know, he has always, you know, supported whether it was Redline or now what I'm doing even today, or, you know, my quest to be an agent in the space. He's always been very supportive of that stuff and, you know, not necessarily looking for what was in it for him. We have a great relationship like that. So I think he, you know, I'm super grateful for him, and sort of all the trust he's put in me and what I've been doing in the space. And I think, you know, I'd be remiss to not recognize that, you know, where I am now has a lot to do with that, you know, with him giving me the opportunity to cut my teeth on him and with him as, you know, I grew and he grew.
Right. So in 2014, y'all were driving to the overhead squat workout. You said something funny happened.
Oh yeah, that is, I think I haven't really told that. I think we laugh about this story all the time, him and I, now. It wasn't so funny at the time, but you know, 2014 was his first trip to the games. And, you know, when Matt competes, I'm on his coaching, pass, you know, and I, you know, I call myself a caddy. I more, you know, deliver him to the, deliver him to the venue, make sure he has what he needs. And, you know, it's been an awesome ride to be a part of everything.
Lifters or nanos, boss? Oh, no, wait, he's Nike. Sorry.
But he, you know, they swam that morning at Hermosa. They did that thruster burpee swimming workout, and went home. And then that night was the max one rep, max overhead squat. And we were, you know, basically given a directive, like, be 4 hours early. If you're late, you're out. Like, one of those type of, like, you know, you can't be late. And so, you know, we didn't know anything about how to navigate traffic. Like, it was just our first trip, really, during competition to the venue, to the StubHub. At the time, I maybe was called the Home Depot Center. I don't remember. It was prior. But the long and short of it is, you know, I was super nervous. I got to tell you that, like, being a, you know, just my role and what he does, like, I can't, in my mind, it has to be perfect. Like, I just don't want to add any stress. These guys, you know, athletes in general, have enough to worry about. They don't need to worry about whether their support team is on point. And, anyway, I plugged in the venue and we're heading and we're hitting traffic and it's getting stressful in the car. You know, Matt is getting stressed because of the traffic, and, you know, we get off the highway and he's asking me, like, are we close? And I said, yeah, it says we're like, you know, 2 minutes away. And we pull up to the light, and he and I both at the same time look as I'm about to take a left turn. And he looked at me and he's like, you went to a fucking Home Depot, didn't you? And I was like, whoa, no. It was really funny. But I had plugged in Home Depot Center, must have really quickly, nervously clicked Home Depot. And I clicked a Home Depot in maybe Carson or close by. But we were still about, I don't know, 25 minutes for the venue and like obviously late. So we got to the venue like a half hour late, and, you know, they had, you know, luckily put some scare tactics into these guys to be super early, and it didn't really play out. But as I dropped them off, it was really funny because, you know, I looked at them and I mean this sincerely, like we've never had, even since then, like even a remote heated moment.
Right.
It's just, it works. Like, you know, I understand him more than anything. He doesn't need to understand me when he's competing. It's about him. You know, but this was the one moment, like he just looked at me in a real respectful way. And he's like, you need to leave me alone right now. He's like, I'll see you after. And I'm his coach. And I'm like, wait, you don't want me to come down and like help you out? He's like, I'll see you after. So I sat in the stands anxiously thinking like, man, I hope this works out okay.
I know, because
and it did. But yeah, that was at the time not very funny, but we laugh about that all the time now.
That's awesome. Now that you say it, I have heard that. I didn't hear that he made you stay in the stands.
He didn't necessarily. I mean, I could have gone anywhere. I don't think he really wanted
go
me
to the stands
really.
And don't move. Yeah,
don't, I'll talk to you after. Yeah, no,
yeah, it was great.
It was great. But yeah.
So then, you know, on the last episode, we talked all about kind of what happened after that, which is you really pioneered the role of the agent in the sport of fitness, and you've gone on to become the agent to many of the biggest CrossFit stars, like Katrin, like Cole, like Brooke Entz, etc. And your role in the space has continued to evolve. And just this past year, you became the president of a company called Loud and Live Sports. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's super exciting new venture, really, that just, you know, built off of, you know, what we're doing with athletes. I think, you know, rewind a little bit back to like almost this time last year, I began to do some consulting for a company out of Miami called Loud and Live that had purchased a majority interest in Wadapalooza. And they're looking for some help in the industry with brands. And, you know, the founders had steered Nelson and Marco, my partners with Loud and Live, towards me. And so I worked with them through Wadapalooza in January. And, you know, quickly identified that there was a lot of symmetry between what I was doing, you know, what we were doing, you know, on the agency side and what they did with their agency. They are an entertainment-based agency that owned events, properties. They're predominantly in the Latin music world, concerts, festivals. You know, they did, you know, talent representation. They did brand marketing work, engagement marketing, digital marketing, and they had media properties. And, you know, some of those things were facets that we didn't have, but it certainly, you know, it was a very cookie cutter approach to sports marketing. Like you own event, like IMG owns events and they rep athletes, they do marketing and they have media. So we started to talk a lot about, you know, Sammy and Sammy is Matt's fiance, and Sammy's worked with me now for a couple of years. And it was, you know, just Sammy and I doing all the athlete work that we were becoming really busy and could use some support. And we had a lot of things that we wanted to do, more things we wanted to do, either with brands, particularly, that we just couldn't capitalize on. And we were looking for an opportunity to get some support and or merge with somebody that could help with that. And, you know, we quickly after January's event talked about just merging on the marketing side. And Nelson and Marco, the founders of Loud and Live, wanted to start a sports agency. And they wanted to do it somewhere focused in a channel, sport, you know, and didn't necessarily want to go the mainstream route and had already invested in Wodapalooza. So, you know, they saw an opportunity and we got together on that. And I think, you know, the Wodapalooza piece, which we can talk a little more about, I think it was a very, you know, late add-on to that, an exciting add-on. But, you know, the initial intent of the merger was just to get better with athletes, you know, be able to do more with and for them, help them grow, help, you know, help us grow with them and mm-hmm. do some work for brands. So that was really, you know, how that came to be. I don't know. I've probably been there about, we've been together about 9 months now.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
One thing that I love about you, and I think this is, if not the biggest reason for your success, at least one of them, you're one of the most well-connected people I know, if not the most connected in the industry. And I think it's because you're just constantly delivering value to people almost always without expecting anything in return. You're connecting people, you're hooking them up with sponsors, you're pointing them in the right direction, giving advice, and you're almost never looking for something in return. And you know, I understand the power of influence in psychology, and I know about the reciprocity effect. And you're not using it as some like sales tactic. You're making genuine friendships with people, and I think these relationships are leading to greater and greater success for you and for your athletes. How conscious has all of that been?
When I started out, and I still have this mindset today, like, and I think you're identifying that, but like when I started out representing athletes, it was truly out of passion for helping them and protecting them. And I really did it for friends to start, you know? And I think when I did that, you know, I think that, you know, and we started doing it that way. It's how I kind of always wanted to do it. Like I've never done this for a dollar. I'm a business guy. Like I think, you know, that's got to be an important part of it for my family and the viability of me being able to continue to do this. But I think that's, it's never been my focus. It isn't my focus today with anything that I'm involved in. I genuinely want to help people. Like I take a ton of gratification out of, you know, the business and or athletic personal success of everybody we work with. That's absolutely primary for me. Like it's just, you know, what can I do to help them? And even to the extent where it's got to do with even people we don't work with, like I feel a high sense of responsibility to steward, you know, my position in this space, because, you know, we're a growing industry, which can, you know, when you're growing and in a growth mode, it can always go either way. And I think we all have to really look at being an integral piece of the pie and helping the pie grow rather than growing your own slice. Because I think, you know, in the end, I've watched it this is how that industry has grown. It is getting massive at this point. It'll be interesting to see how that transitions as it gets more and more competitive. But I will say that, you know, it's been a really fun, cool, you know, thing to be a part of, because most people that I've dealt with in the space that I've personally chosen to line up with think like that. You know, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot through, you know, my experience in general in life, but certainly over the last 5 years, that, you know, you've got to be passionate about what you do. You have to genuinely care and want to help. And I think the rest of like everything else sort of takes care of itself. Like, I think that's like, you know, probably easy to sit back and say, and like, you know, if there's some young business person out there, like what's the key to success? It's like, you know, hey, be passionate and don't look at it for the money. But that's truly it. Like, I think you have to buy into that. You have to own that. And there's a long process to that. Like, that doesn't happen overnight. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, what I do for people, you know, the trust factor took a long time, because quite frankly, look at it from any of these kids' perspective, is like, you know, immediate response to some of my help would have been like, why the hell are you doing this for me? Mm-hmm. You know, like, what do you want out of this? Because that's human nature, right? Even today with success and business being a little more a piece of what we all do, I revisit that daily. Like, it is very important to me that, you know, the relationship side and the personal value is still there, because it means the most to me. And I work on that, not because it's work, because it's what I want. It's what makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Matt, I'm remembering this quote, or kind of, I don't know, this saying I heard recently that hit me really hard in this chapter of my life. And it's something like, we need to stop focusing so much on trying to find our passion, because finding our, like, looking for our passion is kind of asking, what can the world do for me? Instead, we need to focus on developing skills that are valuable to people and taking more of an approach, like, what can I bring to the world? And through that, through the developing skills, we kind of create a passion or create fulfillment for ourselves. It's not something that finds us or that we get. It's something that we can sort of create, which I really love. And it, what you're saying reminds me of that.
Ah, thanks. Yeah. Like, I think that that's, yeah. I mean, I just, you know, looking at what I do, like, I know I'm good at it. Like, and I know that, and it's because I, you know, and it goes to exactly what you're saying. I just genuinely love what I get to do. And like, I get to do it. I don't have to do it. I don't, you know, want to do it. Like, I get to do what I get to do. People have given me that opportunity. And, you know, I pop out of bed in the morning and can't wait. I can't get to bed at night because I just want more. It's, it speaks to exactly what you're saying. It's just, you know, I never sought this out. I saw an area that I could help, you know, and that's turned into something beautiful for me. And I hope everybody around me, like, I think that, you know, and there's so much more to do for me and for everybody that we work with and the space. But it's just, it's been a blast. And you know, I don't take any of it for granted. And I you know, I do observe it and, you know, recognize the gratitude for it on a daily basis.
So you're now at the forefront of the sport of fitness. Wadapalooza is, you know, arguably the biggest CrossFit competition outside of the games now, with the regionals being gone. And I assume those events, including Wadapalooza, will become bigger, a bigger and bigger piece of the entire sport. So sitting where you're sitting, knowing what you know, do you think the sport is going to succeed long term, and why?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, yes is the answer. I think that I'm very optimistic and excited about the new structure. I think there's, you know, I see it from a bunch of different lenses. I think it's a very stressful time right now for an athlete because it's sort of unclear on how it works. And that's fair for them to feel that way right now, because I think absent of rules and, you know, a definitive structure to what the games looks like and what's my path, I think, you know, it's very fair for them to be stressed and sort of, you know, questioning where this is going and how it will operate. You know, I think where I sit, like, knowing, being a sports geek, understanding how sport works, and, you know, studying other sports, this system is not new. It's very analogous to a tennis or a golf, or any tour for that matter. And those sports work very, very well. And there are people involved in our sport that have experienced those other sports. And we're not reinventing the wheel here. I think there's a painful recalibration going on right now because it's quick. And there's a lot of pieces to still be put together, which I know everybody is working on and doing a great job of getting it done as fast as possible. I have a lot of faith in what's been presented. And, you know, myself and others involved feel a high level of responsibility to make it work. I think this first year is going to be a little stressful because of the speed. But in the end, I think it's really going to be great. I really have a lot of faith in what's been presented. I think a touring system is great for the sport. It's great for the athletes and their businesses. There's a lot of upside to this, and I have a lot of faith that's going to work out really well.
If it didn't work, why would that be?
Yeah, it's a great question that I think that we, you know, you have to be cognizant of. I don't spend a whole lot of time on the negative side. I really want to, you know, I really push on how do we make this work? You know, it doesn't work if the governing body isn't committed to making it work. Honestly, like that would be the reason it wouldn't work. And I don't believe that's the case. Like it's
the governing body being CrossFit.
Yeah. I think like any sport, like, you know, the PGA Tour doesn't work if the PGA is just not committed to its success. I think, you know, what I know is like this is the start, and CrossFit's committed to making this work and seeing how this flows this year and making the necessary changes to make it work. If we're all in that mindset, this thing is going to be aces. You know, there's definitely going to be bumps along the way. They're super committed to the long-term viability of the sport and its growth. And they see this, and I would agree with them, long haul, as the way that this does grow and makes it super viable, so that 50 years from now, we're looking at the CrossFit Games still.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a good question. That's a complex question. I think that there'd have to be a lot of poor management and decisions made, not just by CrossFit, but by events. And, you know, there's a lot that would have to happen for this to fail. This is a living, breathing thing that is, you know, I think has been given some life. I really do. Like, I don't think the other system didn't work. Mm-hmm. It was good. It was, you know, we all knew what it was. We could navigate it. But I think that, you know, and they haven't vocalized this, CrossFit, but I think that there was probably a cap to its growth there. Like, I think, you know, certainly globally, right? Mm-hmm. This system has got a lot of legs. And I think we just have to work hard over the next couple of years to support it and feed it to make sure it's successful. And that, you know, Wodapalooza is going to be okay. Like, you know, Wodapalooza is a big deal, whether it was sanctioned or not. We right. see a ton of value of in that, and really want to be a big part of the system. You know, I think that, you know, I see our position and our experience, and I want to help other events too, because it's really important to us, to CrossFit, to the season, to the athletes, that, you know, these events that have been given that tag, that sanction, you know, don't make some of the mistakes that maybe we've made or CrossFit has made in the past. We want to help them be very successful so that this system's stable and we can now just move forward with it.
What impact do you think this has on the industry that CrossFit has created in terms of new opportunities for business? Do you think it's a net positive or negative?
Absolutely net positive. I think, you know, we've always been a global sport, but this truly globalizes it. You know, when you're, you just look at the Chinese market, there's two events there. There's 1.5 billion people in China. You've now validated it there. You've given, you know, the 10-year-old a vision on, you know, what that could look like for him long haul. You know, brands there will get involved.
Are you worried about knockoff red gear pop-ups out there?
I have bigger fish to fry at this point, but yeah, no, I'm not. But dude, in general, like, you look at the athlete and you look at brands, like, you look at brands that are endemic to CrossFit, like, they've been given validation and access to markets that they're not necessarily a part of, you know? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of big brands that were born in our space that are very domestic, you know, like, this stretches their horizons. For me, I think if I can project 3 years out, there's probably no system that's better for an athlete long haul. I think, you know, there's, when you're in a wear and tear sport like we are, I think there's that thing of like, wow, a touring CrossFit athlete, does that work physically? That's a question mark, I think. But, you know, spotty involvement, you know, throughout the calendar around the world is, you know, globalization of your brand as an athlete too. You know, mm-hmm. somebody that chooses to be a athlete that competes and or wins in China, you know, could be embraced by that country. The sky becomes the limit in that country. The same goes for Argentina and Brazil and Europe, no matter what it is. I think it just gives them a platform to express their sport globally. I don't really see a whole lot of negative in it from a business perspective. I think, you know, for the brands and or the athletes involved, certainly CrossFit too. I mean, it's giving them an awesome, bigger global platform to play in.
So with that growth, what do you think, or what's your advice to brands, to different businesses about working with some of these athletes, whether they be, you know, the top tier or the up and coming athletes? Like what's the appropriate way of sponsoring and communicating and being a part of their journey?
Yeah, I think some of that's to play out. Like, I think it is very easy for somebody who sits in my seat to, you know, structure involvement with a brand, right? I think, you know, it's going to depend. I think that overall, you know, with athletes' ability to be more global, I think it allows even some of the bigger brands to get more involved, like the Reeboks, the Nikes, the Nobles that are global, are on a bigger scale. You could go into, you know, supplement companies that are big and global, like they can go deeper now. Like, I think that there is, you know, more ability for their brand to be in, you know, endorsed and supported globally. So I think that, you know, that alone will allow for, you know, more involvement from an athlete front. I think over time, I think there's some uncertainty now and brands are, you know, playing this out a little bit to see how it works. But I think long haul, you know, they're all going to need support, right? Like, I think that doesn't mean, you know, brands will blindly do that. But I just think that a touring athlete, you know, that's a regional level athlete, is not going to have the financial stability to run around the world and compete, mm-hmm. right? But there's a argument for a guy like me, an agency like ours, to say, you know, XYZ athlete is going to compete in 5 different cities around the world this year, and they're going to be in the mix, and, you know, they can promote your brand, they could do appearances, they can wear, you know, your clothing. The broadcasting piece comes into play. You know, who's to say this isn't, you know, I certainly know in the US market we'll have some broadcast appeal, that, you know, globally, you know, what does that look like in Europe and China? Like, those, you know, as that becomes a part of this, that it becomes even a bigger opportunity for support for brands to get involved. Yeah, I think a lot of it's to play out. It really is. And I see it playing out very positively in a deeper manner. I think our sport is very top heavy right now from an endorsement perspective. Mm-hmm.
So I get this question a lot from some of our athletes about what people should be, what athletes could be doing to get more opportunities to become kind of more financially stable as they're trying to make a full-time career out of training and competing. I'm sure you get that question or just help people with that all the time. Do you have any advice for those types of folks?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that's happened is we've become and by all estimations, a very, you know, a much more mainstream sport. The barrier of entry is way higher. You know, 5 years ago, it was a much different game. There's a process involved. There's a base that, you know, the elite have now that just isn't something you can walk into. So there's some pain involved in that. Like, there's no way somebody like me has a leg to stand on with by denying that. Like, you know, it's like an Olympic athlete. It's like a kid who wants to play in the NBA. It's like a kid who wants to play in the NFL. Like, there's an investment from an athlete's perspective in getting where you need to be in order to earn those rights. Is there going to be greater opportunity? Yes. I think that, you know, what I've learned over the last 5 years is that I think, you know, you've got to be the total package. And it isn't from an endorsement perspective. Like, you cannot just be a good athlete. You know, you have to engage socially. You have to be willing to show up. You have to be engaging with fans. You have to do, you know, take media opportunities and do them. You have to be mindful of those things, because I think, you know, if you look back 6-7 years ago, if you were great at this and it was such a startup, brands just got involved in the elite side of fitness. It wasn't necessarily the elite side of social or any of those other things that come with being an elite influencer. I think that, you know, you as an athlete just have to be ready to be rounded, and that's just not on the floor. But, you know, overall, like I get a ton of email and direct message about, you know, wanting to be a games athlete. And I think that's an awesome goal. I would never say, you know, haha, good luck with that to anyone. But I think that what a lot of people need to realize is, you know, that's a lot of work. You know, what Matt does and where he's at is, you know, if I could like press play on what that looks like and what the buy-in is on that, I think there'd be a lot less people attracted to it. Like Matt gets the gifted tag and the, you know, genetics tag and like, oh, you know, he's just good at it. You know, he just moves well. Like he's, you know, I've just never been around somebody that's worked as hard as him in my entire life. And, you know,
what do you mean exactly? Cause I assume, you know, I assume he's working out a number of hours a day, recovering, but then again, so are hundreds of other people vying for those spots. What do you see that he's doing differently that makes you say what you're saying?
Yeah. And I think what he does is definitely what a lot of the people at the top of the sport do, which is, it's about, you know, a routine, and it's about your sleep. It's about what you eat. It's about not, you know, going somewhere you want to go. Like there's a lot of sacrifice involved, and it's, you know, it's every minute. It's like how your mind is set on what you're doing. It's, you know, thinking about, you know, your next move, your next workout. Like they're all in all day, every day. There's not a lot of balance involved in being elite. And, you know, I think a lot of people would argue like, oh, balance is, you know, great in life and you need it. And I don't see it as an option really
in right.
being LeBron James or Matt Fraser or Tiger Woods. Like that's tunnel focus on one thing, which is being the best at what you're doing. And I think there are a lot of people in our space that go about it that way. I've been mm-hmm. very privy to Matt. You know, you know, it's daily, you know, it's a grind daily, off season, on season. It doesn't matter. Everything was one thought in mind, and that's him winning the CrossFit Games. And that's, right. you know, a flight he's taken. Is it going to be detrimental to his training? You know, what time he goes to bed, like all that stuff matters in a great, great, great way. Because when you're looking for 0.001% every year, you know, to be that much better, like that's the type of percentages these guys are working on. It comes down to those fractionals. It's recovering all day. And what do you do with your off days? It's just, it's, you know, again, to press play on that, I think a lot of people would watch that and be like, oh, damn, that's what it takes. Okay. That's, you know, cause hey, listen, they're like, wow, you've been an elite world-class world champion athlete. You know what it takes. It's not showing up to the gym for a couple hours a day, fist bumping your buddies, running around and going dark in a workout and going home and eating whatever the hell you want. You know, it's everything, you know, it's everything you do every moment, while you're in it.
We got an interesting question from the Instagrams by somebody called Hail Mary. And she asked, what is your advice for someone taking on their first athlete as a manager?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Be patient, I would say. I think that was... that was, you know, maybe not a great character trait of mine in life, but it was something that I identified through my experience with sales. And then, you know, sort of looking at, you know, how do you help somebody manage their business in sport or particularly this space? And I'm, you know, maybe because we're in such a growth mode, but, you know, you got to be patient. You have to be very patient with whomever you're working with on so many fronts, but for them too, which is, you know, not necessarily, you know, reacting to everything you've been presented, really playing things out, taking your time. You know, I think that, you know, that's a quick, you know, one piece, but I would say overall, like, you gotta dig in. Like, I would say, call people like me. Like, I'm happy to help with that. Like, get really immersed in, you know, anything you can, marketing, sort of dig into the whole sports marketing world. Then, you know, it's do what I did. I called agents. I have an agent mentor, you know, that I literally spent days on end on the phone with, you know, just trying to figure this thing out. But, you know, lean on people that have done it. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. And it is, I'll tell you what, it's super basic. Like, it's just, you know, be protective, be patient, and, you know, be a wealth of, you know, be someone that's, be a sponge, you know, go out there and learn from people that have done it before.
Man, the obviously everyone hears patience as a virtue, some aspect of that throughout their lives. And I've heard it all of my life, and I always took it for granted and just kind of casted it aside until this year. And I had this kind of aha moment that over the past probably 10 years, I've just been such a goal-oriented and growth-minded person. I've been consciously trying to grow in every area of my life. Mm-hmm. And I noticed all of a sudden that almost all of the time I'm just hypercritical of myself. I'm doubting myself for not improving fast enough, about taking a couple steps back, etc. And it just dawned on me that if I could just accept the fact that I am someone that's going to constantly be trying to grow, if I could mix that with patience, then I'll possibly reach my goals while enjoying the process along the way. So that's kind of a new thought of mine. So I think that's great advice for everyone.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've experienced it all over again. Now I've merged. I'm in a more technical environment. Like, I was doing this on my own. Yeah, I had mentors. But, you know, and I wasn't reinventing sports marketing by any stretch, because it is, you know, very straightforward. I think that it's less complex than people might say it is. But, you know, I got in thrust into a very formal marketing environment. And, you know, I had to remind myself, just like you, of, you know, learn daily. If you don't know, put your hand up, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you're getting better every day, that's all you can do. You know, there's like every cliche in the book for you, but it's truly it. Like, you just, if you can really immerse yourself in that, which is, if you've grown every day somehow, at least some piece of you, if you've learned something every day, and, you know, frustration is like a huge detriment to that. Like, you just, we all want to be somewhere and we have goals. You know, I really try to, and maybe I've learned this through not drinking and sort of what that structure looks like, but I have never lived in a day more in my entire life, and I have to have a very good vision on what the future looks like and, mm-hmm. and navigate that. But I'll tell you what, like, for me, a lot of it is getting better every day, because if I can get better every day, when those things that I know are presented 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, I'll be ready for it.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, I'm excited for you, and I'm excited for the whole community that someone like you is leading one of the biggest organizations in the sport of fitness. You are the man. Matt, where can people keep up with you, and where can all these new agents reach out to you?
Thank you. First of all, thanks for having me, dude. You know, I'm a big fan of yours, and thanks for all you do. I think that, to me, email moKeefe at loudlive.com. Anyone and everyone, shoot me an email. It's on my social media, which is OKeefeMR on Instagram. I'm reachable. Direct message me, you know, shoot me an email. I'd love to talk. You know, come on down to Wadapalooza and grab me. I'll be there. I'll be roaming around. We've got another super exciting announcement that's coming out this week, which will be fun. Another sanctioned event.
So, oh, shit.
Yeah. So I think that will be, when does this air?
not next week. couple months from now.
So this will be have been announced. It's the West Coast Classic. It's a California CrossFit sanctioned event, which will be a new event, but we will run at Del Mar.
Very nice.
Come see me. Come see me. Reach out to me. I'm happy to talk and do for anybody what others have done for me. Happy to support.
Hell yeah, brother. Thank you so much. Have a great
day. Thanks, bro. All right, you too.
Hey guys, I get asked a lot what our most downloaded podcasts are because we have almost 200 shows recorded and people don't want to take the time to sift through and find the best ones. They want to know what's the best one in X, Y, or Z category. And so what I did is created a little document of the top 5 most downloaded shows. And we put a little write-up with each one of them. So each one of them comes with a high-level overview of what the show is about, as well as some of the biggest actionable items, like the biggest takeaways from each show. And you can get free access to this by going to brutestrengthtraining.com/TOP5. That's top 5. brutestrengthtraining.com/top5. So it's the top 5 most downloaded podcast, as well as the biggest takeaways for each. Enjoy.
This episode is finished, but your training journey continues. Head over to brutestrengthtraining.com/SSW and grab your free pack of 32 accessory workouts that you can incorporate into your training and start improving your strength immediately. That's brutestrengthtraining.com/SSW.